Are you on the board still?
I am still on the board, yes. Yes.
Amtrak Board of Directors?
Yes.
Yeah. You are not the chairperson, but you're on the board.
No, not okay. The chair. No.
Okay.
Still serving.
Have you, through the Trump administration, were you still on the board?
Yeah, I've been on since March of 2008. And I was reappointed in 2013, went off in March of 13, was reappointed under President Obama in July of 13. And of course, my term is up and just waiting for someone to replace me. So. Yeah. So, I don't believe there were any. There were no nominees through in the Trump administration.
Okay.
They didn't make it out of the Senate.
Okay. So you were actually appointed during the Bush administration.
Yeah, the tail end of the Bush.
Wow. Well,
kind
okay.
of the tail end of the Bush administration.
Quite
yeah,
a while.
So. Quite a while. Yeah.
How have the attitudes towards Amtrak changed through these past 13 years?
Dramatically. Dramatically, we're doing a much better job operationally. Our reputation, but our support in Congress is strong. Our ridership is up. It's changed an awful lot. And you know, of course, on a day like today or these few days, reflecting back to 50 years ago. And how it started, and with equipment and everything, it's come an awful long way. But yeah, we made some great strides in the last 13 years.
Well, and there have been some battles. There were some battles in the early years too, weren't there?
Oh yeah, I was thinking the other day. I was talking to someone. There were some really big battles when Amtrak was created, and then turned right around, and there was huge battles to establish this route. But since that time, there, and I call them skirmishes, then there's been a series of skirmishes, whether they be when we doubled the service in Illinois, that was a 2 or 3 year effort. Some presidents would zero the budget out, you know, those types of things that are, those are kind of inherent in the way our funding comes, because we don't have a dedicated source of revenue. So, as you know, being in public radio, you're never quite certain, which makes planning incredibly difficult to plan out 2, 3, 4 years on capital projects. So, we've had a number of skirmishes, but you know, it's good service. On this route, it's incredibly important to everyone on the Illinois Zephyr, Carl Sandburg route, particularly Macomb and Quincy, being that far with university town. So, yeah, we've had our skirmishes, but that's just the way it is, relationship with the freight railroads. But, you know, that's business. But it's been good and still improving.
And this is the longest running in-state line in the country, correct?
Yes. Amtrak started operating as Amtrak in March of 71, and then obviously in November of 71, this train came back, thanks to a lot of hard work and a lot of pulls and tugs from Quincy and Macomb and others. But the leadership came from the far end of the route. But yeah, it's been a struggle. And you know, I said in some remarks, a video I made, you know, that we did it, people did that not because they love trains, they do love trains, they did it because of the economy, bringing students to town and business back and forth. This is an economic, it's transportation, but it's all about the economy. So it's certainly worth the effort.
Were you involved with those initial battles, or when and how did you become involved with Amtrak?
That's a great question. I go back and look at my campaign literature when I ran.
When did you first run for mayor? Was that
1991?
Okay.
It wasn't mentioned. This is, you get elected, you come in, and then you realize that it's the big other duties as assigned. So yeah, you're all in. I mean, and during the 90s, it was a little tenuous. You know, service wasn't that good. Illinois didn't think they were getting the bargain. I was just talking to Representative Hammond about that. You know, at that time, Rich Myers was in the legislature. Governor Edgar and Kirk Dillard, WIU grad, was chief of staff. We thought maybe we were gonna lose the service. They hammered out a service agreement, went to Senator Durbin, could get half of the year's funding, I understand, and he said, we got to go with it. So he's been intimately involved on the federal level all the way. So yeah, that's one of the skirmishes. You could actually put that into the battle category, but that was transformational to us to get the service agreement between the state and the railroad. And then that led to doubling the service in the mid 2000s, 2005, 2006. So, and then that changed the world. One round trip a day is one thing. Two round trips a day, then you can use this service. So so that's how I got involved. You kind of get thrown in there and you realize how important it is, and support from local leaders, elected officials, means a lot, and it still means a lot. It means an awful lot to hear from mayors and county board chairs and chambers and public radio stations on how important it is. So it's an all-out effort.
When you were mayor, what sold you on the value of Amtrak?
Well, I tell you, when you go up to the station on Thanksgiving's coming up, and you see the hundreds and hundreds of people for 2 or 3 days that are queuing up to get on the train, and then after the Thanksgiving break, you realize that for the students of Western, that transportation down to Western and on down to QU, it's absolutely critical. I mean, Chicago's is the financial hub of the Midwest, and the trains are set up for those schedules. And you realize that, man, if we didn't have this, because we're not connected to the interstate highway system, this is it. It wouldn't be the end of the world, but it would diminish the economics and quality of life, and I think it would hurt the recruitment for students. So it just, you know, it's just one of those that I'm not just saying it was taken for granted. But when you come in as mayor, you realize, you know, you got a new mayor in Quincy, and all of a sudden this comes up, and then he quickly reaps. I mean, he probably knew it before, but we got to do this. We got to keep this. We need to keep it. It's worth doing. So.
What would you like to see next for this line?
Well, we have new equipment that is in the final stages of being tested and ready for revenue service. That will make a big difference on accessibility. It should bring better Wi-Fi. That'll be a big deal. I would like to see also our on-time performance on this route is really pretty good. Our shot into Chicago on the Burlington Northern Santa Fe through LaGrange is good. Better on-time performance, improved on-time performance. I'm not so much a higher speed person. You know, we have a saying in out here in the railroad, in the passenger rail business, one way to go fast is really not to go slow. Take out all those slow areas and run at track speed at 80 miles an hour and arrive in board in Macomb and arrive in Chicago according to what the schedule says. And we have really good service, but to get that even better would be a great improvement. And if we can get up to 90 miles an hour, that'd be great. But the most important thing is meeting the schedule, having good service, and good safe equipment. We really do need that. And that's on, and that equipment's been produced. It won't be long before that'll be out.
Anything you want to add about 50 years of passenger rail through Macomb?
Well, back in the 70s, when the freight railroads were trying to, and they had tried for quite some time, to get out of their obligation to carry passengers. And when they convinced Congress, people at this end of this route realized that they did not want to let that happen. So So all of us here are standing on the shoulders of people who fought like crazy, not only to stop the freights from being able to get out. When they lost that battle, they turned right around and started lobbying the state of Illinois and Amtrak and whomever else they could for the funding and support to start this service. So we're here because they did great work. I really believe in my heart that it's our obligation to continue to make it better, expand it where it's needed, make it safer, and to continue the work that they did, because if they hadn't done it, we wouldn't be here today. So you got university presidents on, they know, university personnel. it's an important mode of transportation for this part of the state, and frankly for Western Iowa, Southeast Iowa, Northeast Missouri. So yeah, we just got to keep it going. These things don't happen just naturally in nature. I mean, the worst thing that can happen for a service like this or anything is to take it for granted. You got to stay on top of it. You know that. You're in the news business and the technology business and all that. If you're not moving and keeping up with things, then you're really falling behind. So that's our obligation. We're doing it now. Only thing I hope that we continue to do it in the future.